We're in a series titled The Heart of Christmas. The Heart of Christmas. And over the last 3 weeks, we've taken a theme and did a deeper dive into the true meaning of Christmas. And I hope over the last 3 weeks, you've encountered Christmas and we're not just waiting till Wednesday. We can do that this morning. We can experience the reality of an encounter with Christ and what it really means. So we talked about hope the first Sunday. And remember the story about the wife and the son as they were on the dock. And the husband was deployed on a ship. And they watched him sail out of the harbor. And they watched the boat disappear into the horizon. And the little boy became frantic, thinking the father had drowned, that the ship had went down. But here's what the mother said. No. He's deployed for a mission, and we will hope, it's an expectation or desire, that he will return safely. That's what hope does. Now, that in fact happened. He did come back safely, but the point is this, your ship, some ship in your life may have disappeared in the horizon, and you're hoping it comes back. Or your ship has never come in the first place, and you're hoping for something. You see, that's what biblical hope is. We don't hope for what we already have. We hope for what we don't have. So then we talked about peace. Peace is this inner rest that we can all experience, even when life is difficult. And it's an inner calm. And we said we have peace in three directions. We have to have peace with God. That's vertical. Peace with other people. We need to care for the relationships in our life. And then we have to have peace with ourselves. We need to work on forgiving ourselves. And peace is a big deal. And God wants you and me to experience it. Number three was joy. Last week, we talked about the joy factor. And we said joy is the gladness you have in your life. I hope you have gladness this morning. And it's a shine factor that wherever you go, people see or watch your life, and they can see joy in the believer's life. Well, today is part four. We are talking about love, and love is at the heart of Christmas. There's two passages in your sermon listening guide that I'd like for us to read them together. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them and that I myself may be in them. These two verses are the words of Jesus, and here's what he's saying. God so loved the world, which is us, he gave. He's the gift giver of Christmas. He gave his one and only Son. And a little bit later, in the second verse, Jesus said this. He prayed to the Father that the same love the Father had for him would be the same love that he would pass on to us. It's an amazing thought. Can you believe or imagine that the love of God that he has for his Son is the same kind of love that can abide in your heart? Same stuff. And so Jesus says, I want my children to know love and the significance of it. So here's the big idea of the message. And it's this. I'll have Jake put it up. God's love toward us says we're worth the sacrifice of his Son. Let me just break that down. You may be here this morning and you may not feel like you're worth much. Sometimes life can beat us up and drag us down. But the fact that God's love gave his Son means you're worth it. You're valuable. You have purpose. You have a sense of kingdom value, and he wants to use your life. And so the big idea, his love is so powerful, he bestows a sense of worth on every person here, even though you may not think you're worth very much. He wants his love to abide in you. So here's what I want to do this morning. I want to share three truths about how love is at the heart of Christmas. This thing called love that of God has toward us. And so let's get started. Number one, the first truth is this: love is demonstrated through the gift of God's Son. So we're celebrating Christmas. It'll be Christmas Eve on Tuesday. Wednesday is Christmas Day. There'll be trees and presents and so forth. But let us understand, Christmas is right now. And it's the fact that God has demonstrated his love through the gift of his Son. Now circle the word demonstrated and write this word out there. It means to prove. God proved it. He demonstrated, he put it on display. You can't refute it. It's love in action of what he did. So he's proved his love to us. I read a story about a lady by the name of Tracy Howell of Leonard, Texas. And she posted this on Facebook back in 2020. And she shared her story. Here's what it says. She and her husband, Clifford, had been married for almost 41 years. And she said that she made his lunch every working day since day one. On occasion, she would go to his workplace and they would share the lunch together. And he made a comment one day that it was always special to share lunch with someone who loves you. And so she came away from that and she got an idea. One night she packed her husband's lunch and she made him his sandwich and she took a bite out of it. She wrapped the sandwich up, put it in the pail. The husband took it to work the next day. He opens the pail up and here's his sandwich. It's got a bite out of it. Kind of shocked him. This was before cell phones. So he got home that night and he says to her, "Hey, you know what? Somebody took a bite out of my sandwich." And she said, "It was me. You said that when we were together, your lunch seemed to go better and taste better. I took a bite out of your sandwich to remind you of my love for you." And so she said that through the years, she would continue to take a bite out of his sandwich, unless it was pimento cheese or something else she didn't like. Tuna, I think that was it. The point is this: there was a demonstration of love from the wife to him as a reminder of her love for him. When Jesus came, what we call Christmas, he's born into the world, he lives 33 years, dies on a cross for us. It was a demonstration of his love to each of us, which says, you're worth it. You're covered. He's got a purpose for your plan or your life. He's got something for you to do. And he says you're valuable even though you may not think you're valuable. You know, some of us have to work through that, don't we? This sense of low self-esteem, or have I really got much to offer? Hey, God says you do. We just got to go to work on believing it and figuring it out. So number one, love is demonstrated through the gift of his Son. Here's a quote. "Life is too short, the world is too big, and God's love is too great to live ordinary." I want you to soak that in. Don't live ordinary. Why? God's love is too great. And he says you have value, and we need to embrace it, believe it, cultivate it, lean into it, and let him make our life extraordinary. If you're here this morning and you came in, and probably many people are tired because of all the Christmas hubbub, hey, don't live ordinary. That's not God's purpose. He wants us to be extraordinary because of his love for us. So number one, love is demonstrated through the gift of his Son. Number two, the second point is this: we are loved into God's family. We are loved into God's family. Read with me Ephesians 1, 5, and 6 in your notes. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. So here's a term in the Bible. It's called adoption. Now, on the human level, there are people in this church who have adopted children, or maybe you were adopted. And so adoption is when somebody chooses another individual to make them a part of their family. It's a choice that the parents make on behalf of the child. So God does the same thing. He chooses you and me to become a part of his big picture family. And it says we're adopted into his family through his grace. It's something we don't earn. It's something we don't have to work for. But it does have to be received into our hearts. So back in November, when we were in Florida on sabbatical, Pastor Jack and I ran across a lady who, she was actually working at the place where we were staying, at this condo. She was a part of the front office, and we bumped into her right beside the elevators in the hallway, and there were people coming and going all the time, but we had like a 45 or 50 minute conversation. And we did a lot of listening. She just kind of poured out her life story. She's probably late 30s, 40s. She's married, she has two children, but she told about her home life, and her parents were divorced. It was a very dysfunctional family. I think there were drugs involved, and there were four kids total. And she said it was really hard. It was just a hard childhood. One day, somebody showed up, and she was informed that she was going to go to a foster home. It just kind of happened real quick. The kids got split up, all four of them. But she went to this one home where it was a mother and a father, and I think there were three or four boys. The family had always wanted a little girl, but they didn't have one. Therefore, they wanted this foster girl. She was there for 4 months, and she just blended into this family. And then they came and took her back away because the mother wanted the kids back. So she went back home. But here's the story she told years later. She got on a plane one day and flew to California to visit her foster mother. The foster father had died, and so she had this conversation with the foster mom, and here's what she said. Of all my growing up years, of all the stuff I've been through, you were the only family that I ever experienced love. It was 4 months long. And as she reviewed her life of whenever she met with them all these years, the 4 months out of her life that she was with this foster family who loved her, she went to youth group, she went to church, she didn't know how to handle all this love. She said, I want to thank you for that time we had together. It was a reference point to this adult woman who now has two children of her own, going back to her childhood, that those were the best 4 months in living in a family of love. God wants to love each of us into his family. Each of us have a different background and home life and circumstances, and some are more difficult than others, but the point is this: God is on a mission to love each person here into his family. If you're not there, he wants you there. If you're already there, great. But the point is, love is this thing that defines this sense of being brought into his family. And he has that purpose for each of us. Here's a quote. A human level, you can go back to the other one, Jake. A human level adoption story mirrors your own into God's family. In other words, people adopt kids and so forth on a human level. Same is true on the higher level. God adopts us because he chose us through his grace That's why Jesus came at Christmas, so that we would somehow lean into his grace and be adopted into his family. So, number one, love is demonstrated through the gift of his son. Number two, we are loved into God's family through this thing called adoption. And then finally, number three. The third point is this. Love freely received means love freely given. Love that is freely received from God means that love needs to be freely given to others. Read with me these couple of verses in John 13. A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. And the next one, freely you have received, freely give. I want to ask you a question. How is your love towards one another? Start with your family, husband, wife, children, parents. How is your love factor horizontally? The reason I ask this is this. It's a reflection of whether we are getting all that we need from the vertical love from the Father. In other words, if we are connected to the source vertically and we receive his unconditional freely, because that's how he gives it, we should be then giving it to other people freely as well. Here's a quote. I'll have Jake put it up. You must love in such a way that the person you love feels free. The people you love need to feel free, because that's the kind of love God the Father gives to us. You know what the other end is? It's called control. Now, there's a balance when kids are growing up and they're small. You can kind of control them. The older they get, you know what it is? It's called influence. Parents can't control teenagers, and when they get older, young adults. We try to, do we not? But it's influence. But the point is, love is such a way that as we receive it from God the Father, we extend the same kind of love to other people. I read a story a pastor tells. His name is Philip Griffin. He's a senior pastor of Elmbrook Church in Brookfield, Wisconsin. And he saw a sign about a lost dog. And there was a reward put out for the dog, a cash reward. And it was a big one as well. But they described the dog. Let me describe it for you. He's only got three legs. He's blind in the left eye. He's missing a right ear. His tail has been broken off. He was neutered accidentally by a fence. He's almost deaf. And he answers by the name Lucky. So the question is, why would the owner of a dog that has three legs, who is hard of hearing, blind in an eye, whatever it is, why would the owner call him Lucky? And the answer is this. The owner loved the dog. You know, the description of that dog is somewhat metaphorical to our lives sometimes. I mean, we can find ourselves in a mess. And here's what God says. He doesn't use the word lucky, but he uses this word. He says, you are favored. You know, when the angel made the announcement to the shepherds that night, you know what they said? Peace on earth, goodwill toward men, on whom his what? Favor rests. Do you realize the favor of God rests upon you today? You may not think it that way. You may not feel it, but it does. Don't zoom by that this Christmas. His favor rests upon you. He's calling you lucky, even though we got a mess in our life. Even though we are a three-legged creature, whatever it is. He says, my favor rests upon you. you're lucky because of God's love and grace to you. So understand this morning, Christmas, we need to freely receive His love, but you know what? We need to freely give it out to the people in our homes and the people we work with and the people we rub shoulders with. Here's a question. How free is your love given to other people? Do they feel set free or do they feel controlled? God says, hey, love in such a way that it's the same kind of love I have towards my son, towards you, and then give it away in the same measure. You must love in such a way that the person you love feels free. So three simple thoughts. Number one, love's demonstrated. He's proved it. It's called Christmas. It's called the cross. You're of value to Him. Number two, you are loved into His family. He will go to great lengths to get our attention so that we respond to His voice to come into His family. And, you know, it's interesting. I was talking with somebody after the first service, and He uses pain to get our attention so that we'll turn to Him. Does He not? God wants to love us into His family. And then lastly, when we receive His love into our life, we're adopted, we're a part of His family. Same love that He had for Jesus is the same stuff that comes into us that we then give to other people. Over the next two or three days, maybe the week, you're going to have a lot of opportunity to love family that might get under your nerves. You're going to go to family gatherings or whatever. We all get that. Hey, go prepared mentally. Have a high dose of love in your heart. And just love people. Kind of shock them. You know, it can be hard or it can be great. But the point is, have a high dose of love in your heart and just continue to love people. So here's the conclusion in your notes. Stop striving to gain God's approval. If you're here today, maybe you've been trying to subconsciously work at getting His approval. You can't do it. It doesn't work. You just have to receive it. He freely gives it. You are invited into His family by His grace and love. Receive His love and freely give it to other people. So this Sunday, Sunday before Christmas, in 3 days, Jesus wants to load you up with a new portion of His love, and that's what we call Christmas. And then over the next week, just give it out to people. Just love people in an extraordinary way just because He's in you. Let's bow for prayer. Heads bowed and eyes closed. I want you to take just a few moments. The first question to ask is, Jesus Christ in your life? If He is, awesome. Just keep that relationship intact. If He's not, here's a simple prayer you can pray just to invite Him in. Lord Jesus, thank You that You love me. Forgive me for trying to do life apart from You. I confess my sins. I receive Your forgiveness. I invite Jesus into my heart. I ask Him to be my Savior and my Lord from this point forward. Father, I now pray for everybody in this sanctuary and those listening online, that we in this very moment, in the quietness through the power of the Holy Spirit, would be open to receive the love You have for us. Fill our tank this morning till it overflows. May we have an encounter with Christ Himself through the power of the Holy Spirit. Fill us right now, and then this week, help us to love people and give it away, and to share a message of grace and hope that they too need to hear. Father, we thank You for this moment. Thank You for this wonderful group of people, this church family. And I pray that you'll take each of us today, wherever we're at in life. And Father, we thank you that we're called lucky, only it's called favor. And because of your favor, we are worthy of your goodness because of Christ's sacrifice for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.